You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, open William Hill Racing Radio and leave the rest to us.
Today, but yesterday was of a slightly more chaotic day.
Did
you enjoy your Boxing Day with us?
Yeah, I did. First time I've worked that particular day. Always a pleasure to work with Pimmers. You always know you're going to smile.
Good value for money, is that?
Absolutely, yeah. And we had a few winners between us, and Chris was on fire in the early stages, and we saw some great racing as well, not least the King George, of course.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was just going to get a little word on the King George, if possible, please. Clandestobo got the better of Surname. It was probably only one error from Surname towards the end that really cost Surname the race. A fascinating contest. Two King Georges in a row. Were you impressed by Clandestobo?
Yeah, absolutely. And, if you want to be sort of hypercritical of the form, you say, look, it was three non-stayers versus a horse who had a wind problem and was pulled up against the horse who last year's winner, who'd been there and done it before. So he's won very impressively, but I'm sure next time Surname will be back to 2.5 miles.
Yes.
Lost in Translation's having a wind up. Footpad will be going back to a shorter trip as well, and as will Aso, no doubt, and probably to a left-handed track. So it wasn't the sort of most numerically competitive King George, and basically the only true stayer with course form, yeah, was the winner, and he's done it well. Take nothing away from him, but I don't think I'd want to be backing him next time at a shortish price. He's not the greatest horse at Cheltenham, so he's run respectably there, but never won. So he's all his form, sort of Haydock, Newbury, Kempton, yeah, flat tracks. So perhaps avoid him if he turns up at trial state.
If he does, let's see. And going forward, is there anything else yesterday that caught your eye that you were impressed by in any of the other races across the day?
Had to be Slate House in the Quarto Star Novices Chase. He's travelled supremely well. He's come from well off the pace, which is never easy to do over fences at Kempton. And he looks sort of obvious shortlist material for the RSA Chase now.
Yes, you're probably right there. Betting for the RSA Chase and all the Antipost markets is available on williamhill.com. That was yesterday. You're back with us today, and we are recording this not long after back-to-back Grade 1 races. So if you don't mind, I'm going to grab a word on each of those as well. We'll start with the 135 at Chepstow, the juvenile hurdle. All Mankind got the better of Cerberus, drawing clear by the end. It was a good performance, especially it pulled hard early on. Did you see that one coming? It was favourite beat second favourite in the market.
Yes, yeah, it's the first time this season I've got All Mankind right, because he qualified as a bet for me on various systems when he won at Warwick on the 8th of November. Now, I'd bet him pre-race, and I bailed out in running after about a furlong because I thought, he's pulling like an absolute train. He cannot possibly last home. Not only has he lasted home, he's done so by 37 lengths that day after taking a walk in the market. So I've done a few quid there, got it completely wrong. Next time at Cheltenham, I thought, well, he's not going to win Grade 2 company with that inability to settle, so I'll have to take him on again. And he's gone and won, this time by 2.5 lengths from Botoc Has.
Yep.
Botoc Has, because the runner-up has gone on to win at the Cheltenham December meeting in a good race quite comfortably. And so this time, finally, I've tipped All Mankind in Racing and Football Outlook, decided he's just going to make all and power ahead and then probably win the Triumph Hurdle. And he's done it impressively. He's still keen in the lead, but it doesn't seem to bother him. And he looks pretty bomb-proof to me. I know there's Irish horses who can also make the running, and people think the Triumph Hurdle is going to end up being a burn-up. But I just think All Mankind is an absolute star, and I'm really looking forward to the Triumph Hurdle. Words I never thought I'd utter.
A star in the making then. All Mankind not the favourite for the Triumph Hurdle. I've just got the betting up here at William Hill HQ. Aspire Tower 7-1, All Mankind 8-1, Goshen 8-1, Micromanage 10-1, 16-1, and bigger the remainder, including that Cerberus. All Mankind at 8 is a little bit tempting for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, although I'm not really an anti-post punter, so I'll probably wait till the day.
Wait and see what we're like on the day. Quick word then on the 1:45 at Leopardstown, the future champion novice hurdle, won by Abracadabra, who won by a distance in the end, but had company in the form of Heaven Help Us right the way to up until the last hurdle.
Yeah, so won by 8 lengths, won very comfortably. Blue Sari cut out the early running around the inside, and the main market rival, the 64 second favourite, but he dropped away very disappointingly in the end. And I thought Embittered might have run a race, but he also dropped away. So yeah, perhaps the pair got racing a little bit too soon, but take nothing away from the winner. He was always travelling well. Heaven Help Us, the mare, has run a nice race in second, but say she was 8 lengths down at the line. She'll find easier opportunities against her own sex and below grade one level. She'll certainly be shortlist material come Cheltenham in those mares races. But yeah, Abracadabra's very impressive.
Brilliant. It has been a couple of quality days of racing, and that carries on into tomorrow with more Grade 1 action both sides of the Irish Sea, Leopardstown and Newbury. Listeners, I can tell you that we have a couple of big race previews from Sir Anthony McCoy for both the 2 o'clock Frank Ward Memorial Hurdle.
I've heard of him. He was quite a good jockey, wasn't he?
He's won a race or two. I'm not sure. And the 3:10 Savills Chase from Leopardstown. So stay tuned for them at the end of the podcast. But Andrew and I are going to focus on Newbury, and you've picked a couple of races you want to chat about. Firstly, the 2:25, the Mandarin Handicap Chase. That is over 3 miles and 2 furlongs. A quick run through the betting. 7-2 joint favourite, Copperhead and Colobolo. Colobolo, that's an easy one to get wrong.
Cobolobo.
Cobolobo.
But I like the way you said it best.
Cobolobo. Cobolobo. Easy for me to say. Copperhead, as we said, also 7-2. Bought Before Lunch 6s, as is Moving in Style. 13-2 for Polydora. Strong Pursuit is 7-1. Anthony at 12s is the first of a few double figure prices. The floor is yours. Where are we going?
Now, Ben, how old are you?
I'm 31.
Right, so you'll remember 26 years ago when Jadami won the Mandarin Handicap Chase at Newbury.
Like it was yesterday.
Exactly. And then, of course, Peter Beaumont's Charge won his next two, and then soon afterwards won the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So
it's all flooding back.
Not quite the race that it used to be. It's now a 0-135 handicap chase, but an interesting one this all the same. Now, younger horses have done pretty well in this over the years, and if we go back to 2007, had we just backed all those aged 6 or younger, we'd have made a profit. 5 winners from 16 plus £9.50 to a £1 level stake. And if you've only backed the young horses who were in the first 3 in the betting, 5 wins from 10 for a profit of £15.50.
Wow.
Now there's only one qualifier based on our current two qualifiers here, Copperhead and Bought Before Lunch. Now, Paul Webber's Bought Before Lunch is very consistent, but he was second last time out, third before that, and you look at his form and it's just a string of 2s and 3s. He does tend to find 1 or 2 too good in most of his starts. He also seems better suited by better ground. He was withdrawn around this time last year on soft ground at Southall, and because it was deemed unsuitable, since then he's only ever run on good to soft or quicker. So with doubts about the going for Bought Before Lunch, process of elimination, we come to Colin Tizard's Copperhead. Now, he ran 5th on his reappearance behind Trucker's Lodge at Chepstow, who at the time of recording is due to run in the Welsh National in about half an hour's time. So it'll be interesting to see if he boosts that form. Prime Venture, of course, another Welsh National candidate, was 4th in that race. So that race is working out well. And Copperhead returned to Handicap Company next time. Slaughtered a big field at Wincanton, 15 runs that day, won by 4 lengths. Came from off the pace as well, not always easy to do at Wincanton. Now, he's had 3 goes in handicaps, hurdles and fences. He's won all of them. and he's gone up £9 for that win. But I think he's a very progressive young horse, and I think the five-year-old Copperhead can justify well, joint favouritism at the time of recording,
yeah,
with the aforementioned Kobo Lobo. One slight caution is a note of caution: he's not won left-handed yet. His sort of three wins have come on right-handed tracks. But I watched the replay of that Chepstow reappearance fifth earlier on. He didn't show any tendency to jump out to his right, so I think he'll be okay at Newbury. So it's Copperhead for me in the Mandarin, the 225 at Newbury.
I'm really glad you didn't pick Kobo Lobo. Otherwise, I would have had to have said Kobo Lobo over and over again, and we wouldn't have wanted that. Copperhead for Andrew. Bought Before Lunch gets a good green tick in the box as well.
Yeah, so probably not a bad place pot horse, assuming they allow him to run and they deem the ground sort of suitable enough, because he is very consistent.
Now, we are talking very early prices, but both have seen a little bit of support as well. 6-1 into 7-2 for Copperhead, and 10-1 into 6-1 for Bought Before Lunch. We'll move on to the other Grade 1 contest of the day, and the Shallow Novices Hurdle. 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs to take in, and we have a relatively short price favourite for this. It is the 3 o'clock at Newbury. Time Hill, Hattrick Seeking Time Hill, is 5-6. Enrilo is 11-4. 9-2 for the Cashelman. Eclair Surf is 12-1. Stick With Bill, 16-1. Just 5 going to post. How are you going with or against the favourite?
Yeah, not the most numerically competitive renewal of the Shallow Hurdle. A race I was lucky to win as an owner 10 years ago with Rev de Civila. I've still got the trophy on the mantelpiece. And, yeah, Time Hill is a very worthy favourite, trained by Philip Hobbs, who has won this race himself previously. And when he won last time out at Cheltenham at the November meeting, he did race more towards the inside where the ground was slower, at least compared to runner-up Champagne Well. So I think that was a run that could be upgraded. So he's yet to run a bad race. Three wins, a second and a third from 5 runs, the second by a neck in listed company at Cheltenham, and the third, of course, to Envoy Allen in the champion bumper at last year's Cheltenham Festival, where he had Abracadabra, a horse we mentioned earlier, back in fourth, although Blue Sorry, the second, didn't do much for that form today. But generally speaking, it's been working out extremely well, so I think Time Hill will take the beating. He's had 6 weeks to get over that Cheltenham run. Second favourite, Enrilo, is an interesting one. He really bombed out at Ludlow 2 runs back, but Paul Nicholls thought there was an excuse that day, and he's since bounced back to win at Sandown. And he said, "I'm not sure what happened, but he might have got his mouth pinched, and that is why Bryony couldn't keep him on the course as he was in pain. He sort of hung to his left that day, but he had hung to his left in another race previously, so perhaps Enrilo isn't the most straightforward. And so maybe if you're looking to sort of enhance your sort of price about the currently odds on Time Hill, maybe have a little bit of a forecast as well, Time Hill to beat Nicky Henderson's runner, the Cashel Man. He won here last time out. That was in a handicap hurdle, but it's the same race that Champ won last year before going on to Shallow Hurdle success. So, Time Hill for me, but I might have a little bit of my stake on the forecast as well.
Very nice. Time Hill, in the time we've been chatting, has just changed ever so slightly in the market. Now 10-11 favourite in Relo 100-30. The Cashel Man, Andrew's potential idea of something to chase home the odds on favourite, is 4-1. Andrew, Matt, that brings to a conclusion our chat, our part of the podcast. I'm going to introduce Sir Anthony McCoy on a couple of previews as well. So, Andrew, thank you very, very much. Are you with us again tomorrow? Are you spending your entire festive period with us?
No, this is
finally get to see the family.
Day 2 of 2 today, but I'm back on New Year's Day.
Well, we look forward to it. We'll see you in 2020, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Ben.
Thank you.
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, "Open William Hill Racing Radio," and leave the rest to us.
Huge thank you to Andrew Mount for his thoughts on today's Daily Racing Podcast and on William Hill Racing Radio yesterday and today. As promised then, Sir Anthony McCoy has had his say on the 2 o'clock from Leopardstown tomorrow. That's the Frank Ward Memorial Hurdle.
The Frank Ward Memorial Hurdle in Leopardstown, Benny DeJue of Willie Mullins, is she would be unbeaten for Willie if she hadn't have fallen at the last in the Mayor's Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival when she looked like she was going to bolt up. She did win the last time we saw her in the French Champion Hurdle. That was over 3 miles. She's the one they've all got to beat in the Frank Ward Memorial Hurdle.
And whilst we had time with the champ, we thought it's only right to ask him about everything we could possibly think of as well. So we also asked him about the 310 Savills Chase. That's the other grade one at Leopardstown on Saturday.
The Savills Chase in Leopardstown sees the return of Ken Boy, who won this race last year. He fell at the first in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. He went on to win at Aintree and then at Punchestown. He's a very, very good horse, but I think he'll have his toughest task here in the Savills Chase, because I like presenting Percy. He ran really well in his reappearance in the Durkin, and that was over 2.5 miles in Punchestown, stepping up in trip here. I fancied him for the Gold Cup last year. I didn't think he could win because he only had one run over hurdles before that. With that prep run under his belt in the John Durkin, I think he'll take all the beating in the Savills Chase.
So that gives you two selections from Sir Anthony McCoy, two more selections from Andrew Mount. That's a nice little fourfold to get you started into a very busy Saturday. Join us on Racing Radio shortly before the first race tomorrow. That's 11:55 a.m. There will be another edition of the William Hill Racing Podcast as well, so stay tuned for that. From everyone here at William Hill, have a fantastic Saturday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.